You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a question. Have you ever prayed, I know it's probably an easy answer, have you ever prayed for God to be with you? Your friend, your family, maybe Christians half a world away. I know a lot of times it just kind of casually flows off of our tongue. Lord, be with us today. God, be with us. God, be with so-and-so. Well, today, I want to talk a little bit about what that actually looks like. And I want to talk about it through a specific story found in Matthew chapter 1. So turn in your Bibles, turn it on, swipe to it, Matthew chapter 1. Now, we all know the story of Christmas. We know it. A lot of us know it by heart. Some of us, it maybe knew the actual story of Christmas. We've grown up with it. We've grown up speaking of angels. We've grown up speaking of virgin births, miracles, heavenly hosts. We don't even hesitate. We believe it's true because the Bible says it's true. For a lot of us, it's become a second language to us. Now, if you want to know exactly what you believe, talk to an atheist who is from a different country who has only recently heard of Jesus, and you'll realize how fantastical some of this actually is. But I think for us who have grown up with this, who it is a second language, I think it's more difficult to associate the story with real people. Mary and Joseph, they were real people, real emotions, real fear, real anxiety. They had real lives. These were people who struggled just like we do to answer the question, are we alone? Is God really with us? So today I want to dive into this a little bit, but first I want to put this into perspective. And I found a video that I thought is very appropriate for this story today, and I wanted you to think for a moment, maybe try to put yourself in the shoes of either Mary or Joseph. And what would this have looked like today? Some of you have already seen this, but what would this have looked like today had this birth occurred and we have heard about it via Facebook? Let's watch this. I love that because it has a little tinge of reality, doesn't it? You think, well, who would take their cell phone into the birthing room with them? And I have to tell you, lots of people. Texting. See, we have the benefit of knowing how the story ends. We know kind of what happens, but I want to take the next few minutes and I want to explore the text. So turn to Matthew chapter 1. Now before we begin reading in verse 18, with this video still fresh in our mind, I want you to know that the best way to begin a man's story in the Jewish mindset is through telling where he came from. The word they use is geneseos, Genesis. You know, it's his genealogy. So we typically brush by the genealogy because, you know, just a lot of names. We don't know what to make of them. In Genesis, that's usually where we stop, you know, reading the whole Bible. That is such our, you know, the genealogy is difficult. But what I want you to realize right now is that the genealogy, this is the genealogy of Jesus, and it's telling us exactly where he came from. But it's not just telling us where Jesus came from. It's telling us where Joseph came from. So we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph today. What we need to remember about Joseph and Mary is that these were two people who they wanted to do what was right. They weren't looking for anything extraordinary out of life. They were looking for just having a normal life. They didn't want to really change the world. These two people were simply living their lives in the very best way they knew how. They followed the rules, they obeyed the law, and then one day God intervened. So let's start looking in verse 18. This is what it says. Now, where's it at? Okay, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. I love that moment in the video when it says, 23 people unfriended Joseph. Now, there's a three-step marriage process, by the way, for these people. First of all, there was the arrangement, and that was whenever, you know, the father, the families would get together, and they would decide who would get married and what would be, traded for that actual marriage arrangement. Then you had the betrothal. The betrothal usually lasted about a year. This was a moment that they weren't living together as husband and wife, but the whole community knew these two people were meant to be together. They were going to be married. These two people were off limits. And then you had a marriage, and that was usually a huge affair. It was a several-day process, and it was a lot of fun, but it was coming after a year or more of this betrothal process. Now, typically, the only way to end a betrothal was through a divorce, because you were literally husband and wife. You just did not inhabit the same space. You know, you were off limits to everyone else. So let's continue. Verse 19 says this: her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. I used to quickly gloss over this verse, and so what I want to do is just take a moment and let's let this sink in for a second. It says that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, to be righteous meant you were faithful in worship, you followed the laws, typically all 613 of them. It also meant you prayed at the appointed times, that you went to the temple during festivals, that you did the sacrifices that you were supposed to do. What this says is that Joseph was not an outsider. He was an insider. He was serious about his faith. He was so serious that he was labeled as a righteous man. So imagine you were a righteous man. You're doing your best. You finally found the one you're going to marry. You're going to start your family, continue the line of David. You're so excited. You've done everything right. The arrangement, the betrothal, you're planning the wedding, I'm sure, and you're following the law as best you can. And then your fiance tells you, "I'm pregnant." And then she tells you why. So in that moment, you think God has a sense of humor, but do you think Joseph in that moment thought, "Where is God? I've done everything right. Have you abandoned me? All of this was crashing down." Have you ever prayed for God to show up? For God to be with you, not just in passing, but fervently and righteously praying for God to come near, and then something happens that knocks the wind out of you. See, Joseph was in a very difficult position here. He loved this girl, but for Joseph to stay married, hear this, for Joseph to stay married, I'm sorry, to stay righteous meant that he would have to divorce. Isn't that seem backwards? For Joseph to stay righteous meant that his righteousness would have to keep him from being married to her because she was impure, as was the child. But we know that Joseph loved her. You know, he could have been more vindictive. He could have been more concerned about himself. How many of y'all have been in a conversation where it's an argument, but you're mad mainly because you got hurt? You're not defending anyone else. You're upset because you were taken advantage of, or the wool was pulled over your eyes. He wasn't as concerned with himself. He could have done much worse to her. You just need to know that he could have done much worse to her. So here's Joseph, you know, that one moment in the video. "I'm hurting. I'm confused." Imagine the pain and anguish this righteous man is going through as he tries to do what's right. How is he going to stay righteous before God in this moment? Now, we don't have this mindset, but a man's reputation, his righteousness, was almost everything. Let's continue. "But just when he had resolved to do this," put her away quietly, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Look, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us." God is with us. I've always found this moment to be something I can relate to. You know, I don't know if you're like me, I'm sure you are. There are moments when you're just consumed with work or consumed with something that's going on in your life, something that's just not quite right. You don't know what to do, you don't know how to manage it, and it just takes over every living and existing moment that you have. Personal issues, whatever it is. Your prayer life suffers, you're not listening to God or to anyone else for that matter. I think Joseph was at this moment in his life, and I think the only moment he could get Joseph's attention was when he was asleep, whenever he had no other distractions. So imagine this, you've been praying for God to come, for God to be with you, with your family, and then he shows up unexpectedly in a dream with a very specific message, and a message that isn't going to come cheap. I mean, just imagine, how is this too much to bear? This would put him outside this religious circle. The talk would begin. The judges would begin judging. The I told you so's would start quietly. And Joseph's status as a righteous man would begin to crumble. In my studying this week, something I've noticed is that it's clear to me that God did not seem to worry about the scandal this would cause. Sometimes holy and serious God-centered work is going to be scandalous. But I think even though God chose these two to raise his son, the moment really wasn't about either of them. But they were given an opportunity to help God come near. And so I asked myself, could I live like this? Could I live with this thing in mind? As if the work that God wants me to do isn't about me, but it's through me. I mean, would you be okay if you were only meant to be a supporting character in this grand cosmic story that God has created? You know, if God is with us regardless, would that be enough? Was it for Joseph? Verse 24. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This must have been quite a dream, right? Because when he wakes up, he marries her. Now, I don't know how long the betrothal had gone on to this point. It didn't matter to Joseph, though. When you encounter God, you have to respond. I think Joseph did. He married his pregnant fiance, prepared to raise a son that wasn't his because God told him to. Joseph had a mission and a purpose. And this is the part I find fascinating. The Messiah, it's born into the line of David. The Messiah is born into that line. But the line is determined through the father, Joseph. Joseph was from the line and lineage of David. Jesus was not Joseph's natural son. So does that mean there's an error in Scripture? Oh, no. No, not at all. This is the beautiful part here. For Jesus to be considered part of the line and lineage of David meant that he either has to be born into it or adopted into it. So God relies on a righteous man, a carpenter, to raise his only son. A direct descendant of a man after God's own heart, David, and Joseph, a man who loves God, who is righteous, accepts this child. And this is something I found out. As the fathers did in that day and age, it was their job to name the child. When a father named a child, the child became his. The child was given all the rights, all everything that came with being a son of that man. And in that day and age, adoption was oftentimes considered stronger and more serious than natural birth because there was a covenant involved. There was a commitment involved, promises. Just think about this. God's promise to his people was accomplished through the selfless act of one man. God was adopted by the same people he adopted. This is amazing to me, to trust that God, to trust that these people would take him in. And this is what it says. Paul says this, as indeed it says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in that very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called children of the living God. God adopted Israel. He adopted a people, not because they were fancy or strong or intelligent, but because he decided he was going to love them, even though they were unlovable. And so here is one of these men helping God make this upside down entrance into the world, a radical new beginning that is God's answer to the prayer of his people, an unexpected entrance. So think about this. In this season, lots of people have issues. There are people who feel alone. There are people who do not have that Norman Rockwell Christmas like everyone wants. They don't have that perfect little Best Buy Christmas that you always see on television. There are people who are still asking this question, is God with us? I believe he is, and I believe even more than the fact that he is, I think we can expect that God will be with us. In those moments that, like Joseph encountered, the moments that seem too much to bear, and the moments when it seems as if the right choice is the most uncomfortable one. God is with us. I think we can expect that. But I want us also to hear this. Just as God relied on Joseph to help him into this world, God is still relying on us to help usher his name into the world of men. Because I will tell you, people feel alone. They need to know how close God really is. And if this is not why we meet, if this is not why we get up every day, then I don't know what the purpose is anymore. Our purpose in life is to show that God is with us, that he is available to those who are smart, to those who are not, to those who are rich, to those who are poor, to the sick, to the healthy, to the English speakers, to the non-English speakers. We are the ones who get to still usher in God's presence to the world. This is exciting. I think if we expect that God is with us, then he's going to flow through us into the very presence of others. But there's still this choice that needs to be made each and every day. We have to choose. Will we accept this child? Will we accept the story is true? Will we accept Jesus Christ for all he is? Will we accept him into our life? Will we choose to live with him, to include him in our family? This is a daily choice. And it's one that Joseph had to make. Now, granted, we know the story and we think, oh, it was easy for him. The angel came and told him. I cannot imagine how difficult of a choice this must have been, because it wasn't just for a moment. This was for his life. He had a choice, and so do we, to accept that God is with us. Now, imagine the ripples that the choice you make could create. It's not something we just kind of believe. God is something we accept into our family. Now, wherever you are in your faith, I'm going to give you a moment to respond in just a minute. Now, granted, you may not need salvation right now. You may have already received that gift, but I want you to know that there's still a choice that needs to be made. Will you follow from a distance As we wrap up our year-long theme of discipleship, will you be one who follows closely? Will you be a part of God's family? Or will you follow from a distance? Will you tell the story, or will you ask to be invited into it? There's a choice that needs to be made. But I will tell you, you can expect that God is here. You can expect that God will be with you.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.